Well, over the last few weeks, I've been talking about discipleship within the church and different aspects of discipleship. And this morning, I decided to, I was really led to talk about discipleship and how the church itself fits into discipleship. You know, we are familiar with Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse 25, it says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is the habit of some. And sometimes people have a question about forsaking the assembly together. Does that mean on Sundays? Does that mean on Wednesdays? What does that mean exactly? And you know, we've talked about the fact that Sundays is a given. Sundays is God's day. It's our opportunity to put God first, not out of a legalistic sense, but out of a reverence for Him and who He is and what He's done for us. And so Sunday is a given. From a discipleship standpoint, discipleship is something that each individual has to decide for themselves, how closely, how seriously they want their relationship with God to be. He never moves. So if we decide to go to Him, He's going to be there. And if we decide that that's where is important to us, then we're going to spend a great deal of time with Him. If we reflect, as a matter of fact, if we reflect on Jesus and His disciples, realize how much time Jesus spent with those disciples. Almost all of His time was dedicated to them. You know, periodically He would get out and you would see Him getting away from them and praying to the Father on His own. But for the most part, for those 3 years, the disciples were with Him. And so they had an opportunity to really become disciples and learners of His by watching Him as He walked the walk. They learned about Scripture. They learned about His compassion. They learned about the love of the Father as He watched as they watched Him do different things. They learned about faithfulness. They learned about sacrifice. So they had an opportunity to live firsthandedly and watch Him. There were times that we see Him put them in situations where there was the opportunity to train them. If you look in Matthew chapter 14, as a matter of fact, I'm going to go to a couple of these just because. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, now when Jesus heard about John, He withdrew from there in the boat. He just heard that John had been beheaded. And He withdrew there in a boat to a secluded place by Himself. Now, I picture Jesus dealing with sorrow here, dealing with the fact that somebody who meant a whole lot to Him had perished, and He's going to the Father to talk with the Father. And He's wanting to do this by Himself. It says, when people heard of this, they followed Him on foot from the cities. When He went ashore, He saw a large crowd and felt compassion. Now, I ask myself, if I had experienced something like that and am being called into ministry right then and there, feeling that way, what would I do? And it would be a challenge. I'd have to call myself. I'd have to bring myself to the point of saying, you know, Lord, you've put me in a position of service, and that's what I want to do. I want to serve You. And so in doing that, I would answer the heed, the call, if you will. It goes on to say, when it was evening, the disciples came to Him and said, this place is desolate and hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. Now here comes the teaching moment, because He's going to look at them and go, no, you feed them. And so you see the opportunity that the disciples had to see Jesus Himself come back, to immediately not question whether or not He was going to minister. This is what He's called for. And then He has the opportunity to tell them, no, you need to join in this with Me. It's not as simple as we have a responsibility to these people, because we want them to know My Father's heart. This is why I came, was to show My Father's heart. And you don't do that by saying, good luck, you know, hope 7-Eleven is still open, you know? So he deals with it appropriately, and he gets them to into the mode of service, if you will, okay? This is all coming back to the church here in a minute. Don't worry. In John chapter 13, you see something completely different. And in chapter 13, verse 5, it says, this is Jesus at the Last Supper, and he's washing the disciples' feet. And it says, verse 5, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, you do not wash my feet. Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. What's Peter learning? Peter's learning humility. Peter's learning to be served. And if you think about it, sometimes one of the hardest things some of us have to do is to accept the help of others. So here we go to the church. The church, the intention of the church as God has designed it, is to, A, point you toward Jesus. If we're not pointing you toward Jesus, then, and that's every one of us in the room. If we're not pointing others toward Jesus, then we're taking the glory from him that belongs to him. So that's number one. Number two is the church provides the personal care for fellow believers. So when you come into this body, sometimes, and I tell people that you don't ever realize, sometimes we judge a church building, the church that we go to, and I've heard people say, I just don't get anything out of that church. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're an infant, you know, and we, some of us have exposure to infants around us, and they're prone to want what they want when they want it. You know, if they want a cookie now, they want it now. If they want a sandwich now, they want it now. And their mood changes based on whether or not they're getting what they want. But as you mature, you start thinking, okay, well, maybe somebody else might be hungry. And so you kind of back off that a little bit. And as you mature further, you start looking for the opportunity to make the sandwiches, right? Well, the church is the same way. When new believers come in, they're really looking for something. They're looking for an understanding of Christ. And so you'll tend to come in and say, okay, what's in it for me today? And if you don't feel like you're getting fed, you begin to look elsewhere to go to a different body. But God designed the church that we are a family. And so you've been brought into this body by the Lord. And you are a part of a family as such. And so we will have infants come in who are looking to be served. But the hope is that as you mature in Christ, you're going to look for the opportunity to serve. And as you do, you are now washing the feet of other believers in the room. Does that make sense? So discipleship, Jesus could spend his time with the disciples and he could teach these different principles to the disciples as they went because he had 12, right? And one of them left in the end, but he had 12 and was still very busy. There were others who followed him, but he was training his 12, the 11 disciples to go out and teach this service, teach God's heart to what would what we see develop in Acts to the church, okay? So if we look at this church body, if on a normal Sunday at this time, we'll have well over 100 people here. Well, we've got 4 pastors. And some people are ready to sit down with us one-on-one and devote that time, and some people aren't quite yet. But the people who aren't quite yet ready to take that step are still being discipled. Why? Because the disciples themselves were learning by how? By watching Christ. Amen. So when the new believers are coming in, if they've not quite made the decision to get serious about their walk and dedicate that time, they are still being discipled because not only are they hearing the messages from the front, but they're also having an opportunity to see fellow believers who, by the way, have also been forgiven of their sin and been rescued by the same Jesus that they have been. So there's that likeness in the journey, if you will. But they're being discipled. We're all being discipled at the same time because we're watching Christ work. We watch people with different gifts than our own, and we watch how they do what they do. And that's a way that we can learn, hey, if I'm not somebody who likes to hold babies, that, you know, and do these kinds of things, you know, I'm a little bit different. And there are other people who the Lord made the love to hold babies, and that's great. Some people like to mow the lawn. If I don't like to mow the lawn, it doesn't make me bad. You know, if I don't like to bake and do those kinds of things, but other people do, I'm not judging myself based on what I'm seeing. I'm recognizing the power of God's plan and the way he designed things, that he brings us all together in this one body, and we learn Christ by watching each other. And we learn it by serving each other and allowing them to serve us when those times come also. So when you look at the power of the church itself, why do we not forsake the gathering together? Because it's by being in here that we're being washed, we're being fed, and we're in an environment where with other believers. When you walk out of these doors and you see what other people are worshiping, you want to know what other people worship? When you're driving to church Sunday morning, watch what other people are doing. I mean, it's pretty simple. What do they count as important? But when we're in this body, we're honoring God first and foremost, and we're washing each other. We're operating as the family that he designed us to operate for as. So that's kind of what the Lord was speaking with me this last week about discipleship and the church and the way that the church fits into the discipleship. Father, we thank you for your plan, Lord. We thank you for the way that you, we know that this has been your plan since before time began. We know that nothing can thwart this plan. And Lord, you desire us to draw near to you and to draw near to each other. And Lord, you've done all kinds of things in your plan that are designed to do just that. And we thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.